Blog Talk.
Dopamine. Extension contact. Dopamine. Extension contact. All systems operational.
Welcome to Sportsology Radio Network.
Welcome to this edition of The Game. I'm Russ Cohen, and we've got Nico Riesgo and Lisa Marie Latino. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, good. We've got lots of stories this week in baseball, and we'll get right to them. Like, I guess the number one story yesterday, because everybody likes a good firing, was the fact that the Mets had an organizational meeting in Atlanta. But to me, there's no point in having an organizational meeting unless you're actually going to do the firing that day. I never understand saying you've got 10 games or 10 days to shape up or ship out, because to me it doesn't make sense. Nothing's going to happen. They'll probably go 5-5 in that time, and then, you know, a week and a half from now they'll be in the same spot.
Yeah, I agree. I like kind of like what the Royals did with Trey Hillman. I mean, they told him he was on his way out. They gave him an opportunity to say, hey, this is the last game. You want to go out and win here? They've been on this long losing streak, and he said, absolutely. I want to give it one more chance. And they actually won on his last day out. So,
Lise, what do you think?
It's long overdue. Hello?
Yep, that's it. That's all you got. It's long overdue.
No. I thought I was cut off. I didn't hear anything.
Oh.
No, I mean, this manual thing, I mean, the whole organization, I mean, we've been doing the show together, the three of us, for the past year. And every show, it's the same theme. The Mets have to fire the manager, fire the general manager, and just clean house. And it boggles my mind that this is years in the making with Manaea's case. And nothing has been done. I mean, what else? The seats are empty. The team is terrible. You know, you have your, you know, supposed A-list stars, like, just being bad. Like, it's just time to clean house and start over. And they should have done that in the off season, not now.
I agree. They just they start off the season in a bad way. But, Nico, going through the East.
I'm mad for you. You're a Mets fan. You know, you live and die with this team. I don't even like the Mets. And I get when I just see it, when I see the idiocracy that's happening across town from where my team is playing, it actually makes me upset that they actually function in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, idiocracy is a good word. They've been functioning that way for a while now. But I'll tell you, I'm going to switch gears. Nico, I'm looking at the Eastern Division, and the Phillies are in first, which is sort of what I expected, but the Nationals are in second, and I told you the Nationals were going to be good, and I told you the Mets would be in last, and the Mets are currently one game up from last place because they beat Atlanta yesterday. What do you think about the Nationals?
I love the Nationals, and I think I give 100% credit to Pudge Rodriguez. I mean, he's shown, he's proven in the past, any team he's gone on, that team just drastically transforms and changes. He's a Hall of Fame catcher. He's behind there. I mean, he doesn't even have Strasburg or any of the top-notch pitching prospects that the Nationals have, but he's doing it with veterans like Levon Hernandez, getting it done with Lennon, and he's just calling a great game, setting up, holding the pitches for strikes for the umpires and the corners, getting every single inch out of the game that he possibly can, and he's doing a little bit something with the bat, too. My MVP for the year so far, Pud Rodriguez, Washington Nationals.
Interesting. Everybody wants to call in. Dial 347-994-1040. You want to take part in the game and talk about what's going on. But switching again, Nico, we have to go over to the Central. And what team is in first place in the Central? Do you know?
St. Louis?
No, it is the Cincinnati Reds. Now, I believe one person on this show predicted that the Cincinnati Reds might win that division. Do you know who that person was?
You?
It must have been you, Russ.
Of course it was me. Boy, I'll tell you what, they've been impressive, and Johnny Cueto got another win yesterday, and this is a team, you know, Dusty Baker is a good manager, and he finally has some players to play with, Nico.
Yeah, and also they called up Chapman, too, I hear, that they've got the fireball up in the big leagues. And they're gonna be hard to catch. I mean, St. Louis is right there, just a half game back. I don't know how long Cincinnati can handle it. I don't think they've tasted first place in the last, what, 5 or 10 years?
Decade? No. it's been a while, yeah.
Are they going to be able to recognize themselves as leaders and winners of the Central? I don't know. We'll see.
I think so, because I think the manager will help them do that. Lou Piniella's in trouble. Lisa, because he's an ex-Yankee, I'll ask you, do you think he makes the season? Does he live out the season?
Yeah, I do. I think maybe his pedigree takes him a bit further.
Because I'll tell you, that team spent a lot of money.
What record? What record did he break or something like that he was frustrated about?
Oh, Lou Piniella broke a record? Probably for getting kicked out of the game.
Okay. That may have been it.
Because I know Bobby Cox was the leader for being ejected from games, but maybe... maybe Lou passed him. I didn't see anything on it, so I'm just totally guessing. I have no idea. But I'll just say that, once again, now they're only a game up on the Pittsburgh Pirates, but once again, the Pirates are under 500. You know, the Pirates haven't – this team hasn't been over 500 in over 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going anywhere north of that this year at all either. I mean, they've got some good, hungry young players, but I just don't think it's enough. They need some savvy veterans, some leaders on there that just dominate. They just don't have
it. I mean, they don't even talk about making the playoffs anymore. Their fans just talk about being a 500 team, and that's a pipe dream. Although Andrew McCutchen's hitting 331, and I have to say I saw his debut last year, actually during the Stanley Cup on a day off, playing the Mets, and he's a good player, but you know they only get one or two good players at a time, and then they eventually lose them. So I don't know what that team's going to do, but that's a bad story, and it just keeps getting worse. But we'll switch over to the West. Nico, the San Diego Padres, they can't be stopped. They actually have the fourth best record in baseball.
And it's all pitching, and I give all the credit to Buddy Black, also former San Diego State alumni. What a great pitcher he is, and just a great mind, a baseball mind in working with pitchers. He's got that whole pitching staff just on fire. I mean, this LeBlanc, where the heck did he come from? I mean, he kind of looks like a Buddy Black. He's just dealing, throwing zeros on the board. He lost a tough game last week. But he only gave up one run, so that's the kind of player he's been all year long.
And I'll let Lisa talk about this one. So with all the early negative Dodger talk, they've now won 8 in a row. And Lisa, this is typical Joe Torre. He just keeps the team calm. He's got good players there, and now they're starting to win games.
Don't doubt Papa Joe. You know that. I mean, people are silly if they doubt him. Everyone out there just had to relax. Which I don't think anybody in LA was really truly stressed about what the Dodgers were doing anyway. That's just the attitude out there. But yeah, that's what Joe does. That's why he's the best, you know?
I will say this too. I'm very distressed about these reports that I hear. Of course they're on ESPN, so I think they're made up. I'm sorry, I just can't see any other reason for it when I hear that Buster Olney saying that possibly Joe Torre could end up managing the Mets. Now I have to tell you, the last time was a long time ago. I remember it. He was a player, then he was a player manager, then he was a manager, then he was out of there. I just don't see it. I don't think he's going to go back to that. I don't think he'll even leave the Dodgers. They're offering him like a front office position after next year if he wants to stop managing. But could you see him managing the Mets, honestly?
Yes.
You could.
Mm-hmm. I could see it. I wouldn't be surprised. If that happens, I would not be surprised. Could I see Bill Parcells head coaching the Jets? No.
Well, he did it already, and
he'll never do it again. But, you know, Parcells, he went cross town or in stadium. I could see Torre doing the same thing, though. I mean, and I would not be surprised because I think Joe does miss New York. But I think the only thing that would get in the way of that is that he is older. He has voiced that he wants to retire. So, I mean, it would just be shocking if he is working anywhere managerial-wise past this season. So, but we'll
no offense. No offense to the age, but the last time the Mets had a manager that old was Dallas Green, and it didn't work out well. I just don't think.
Well, you know what, guys? You know what, Russ? Anything you guys are doing right now is not working out well. So you have nothing to lose by hiring four-time World Series champion Joe Torre.
True, but he has something to lose legacy-wise, and I'd be surprised if he wants to risk that. But, you know, he might. You might be right. We'll switch over to the American League. Lisa, your team, I guess they had a walk-off homer yesterday.
Yeah, did you hear about that? Yeah, I might have heard a little bit about that. What can you say? I love it. My team, they're definitely nicked up. There's definitely a lot of injuries, but they're battling through like champions do, and the Red Sox just look awful right now.
They do. Nico, it was Marcus Thames, your ex-Detroit Tiger.
Oh, he hit the walk-off. He's doing a great job for the Yankees. What a great fill-in.
Yeah.
Is he still hitting over 300 and filling in against the left-hand pitching?
I mean, A-Rod came through in the clutch, so, you know, that monkey is completely off his back. You know, I thought maybe it would go revert back this year, but no, A-Rod with the dramatic home run yesterday and then teams with the walk-off home run. I mean, what else can you say about the Yankees? I mean, we're rolling. You know, we're going to roll right to the World Series this year, no question.
Yeah, it seems that way.
And in the second place behind the Rays, just kind of sniffing their ear, they're kind of really lucky to get the wild card this year.
No. We'll be fine. It's only May, and I don't think you beat the Yankees.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. We can't really say anything about that just yet, Nico. But, Lisa, what is all this business I hear about A-Rod and two women fighting over him? What have you heard about that?
A-Rod and two women fighting over him. I don't know why anybody would be fighting over A-Rod. Oh, with Cameron Diaz and Kate Hudson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, Kate is the jealous ex, and Cameron is A-Rod's, you know, fling of the moment. And, you know, they're both powerful Hollywood actresses. I guess A-Rod's packing the goods. I don't know what else to say.
But at this point, like, just as I would say about a girl who has been around too much, I think A-Rod's been around so much that would, if I were a woman, it would put me off.
I happen to agree, but when you're that rich and that famous, like, it's like a whole different ball game. It's a whole different set of rules. You know, I think maybe they get around just as much as him, so it kind of cancels each other out.
Maybe.
You know, we're not talking about the girl next door that A-Rod's hooking up with. We're talking about, you know, million-dollar Hollywood big screen actress.
Hey, I gotta share this with you. Cameron Diaz, to me, is like the little girl next door. She actually grew up on the same block as I did, and I used to ride my bike and see her and her little sister playing in the front yard, playing little water slides and squirt guns or something like that. Just a great little girl, and just a great person, too.
Were you guys friends?
We actually, she went to my high school. She was younger than I was, but she was someone who was definitely, you knew her because, like I said, she was on the block and she had this beautiful blonde hair and just a friendly girl, always smiling. And she had a little sister with her too, with the blonde. So the two little blondes down the block, and just grew up real popular at Poly High School. And then, obviously, when she made the decision to go into theater, she hit success there, and she's really a big-time star in my hometown, Long Beach, California.
Very nice. Well, that's at least that puts a nice spin on it, because I was probably going to bring it to a bad place. But let's continue talking about the American League. The Minnesota Twins, now this is a team that lost Joe Nathan, and you figured when they lost Nathan – that was going to hurt them. They had no closer. Yet, they're still in first place, and Roush has the most saves in the league. Now, you have to wonder, as a Nationals fan, why the hell did they get rid of him?
I don't know. Although, I went into my first game of the season on Saturday. Twins did not look that good on Saturday or this weekend, but I don't know.
Well, that's always
going to
be a game, a clunker, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and you know what, though? But I just love what the Twins organization has done. I mean, with limited money, I think, like, that should be a model for a lot of the teams that don't have maybe Yankees or Boston money on how they should run their organization. Because look at the players that they get and put out there. I mean, they're an amazing franchise.
They are. They produce players. There's no question about it. Ron Gardenhire, who I think he used to play for a team in New York. Oh, he used to be a player for the Mets. Pretty damn good manager. Of course, the Mets blew it on him. They could have had him in their organization. And this is a team that, again, you're right. They keep winning, but, again, Roush is the big story here because if he doesn't anchor that bullpen, Nico, there's no way they're going to be even close.
Yeah, he came right in there. I mean, who even remembers Joe Nathan anymore with the way he's playing? You know what I mean? He's doing a great job, and they thought it was going to be a catastrophe when they lost Nathan, and he's just kind of filled right in, and it's business as usual.
And let's not forget Francisco Liriano, who is leading that team and everything, seems to be totally healed now, and he looks like the pitcher he was, what, about 3 years ago, and that's helping him too.
Yes, yeah, because I would say about 3 years ago, he was the next
Santana
coming up there. And when they lost Santana, they were a little bit surprised that Liriano just wasn't ready yet, and they had to send him down. I think he even had a little surgery on his arm, but he's come back healthy. And he is, I would say, the big, big franchise thrower that they were looking for him. And I hope they're able to keep him. I really do. I hope they don't end up losing him like they lost Santana because they need a franchise. And it's good for them to have him in the lineup rotation every 5 days because they can pretty much pencil in a win on those days.
Yeah. And just so you know, last year Roush pitched only 15 innings for the Twins, and he had no saves. Year before, he pitched 54 innings for Arizona, and he had two saves. I mean, he's only got 36 career saves, 10 of them this year. It's amazing.
Yeah, what a great job.
So that's keeping that team afloat. And, Lisa, what do you think of the Baltimore Orioles? I have to tell you, when I was growing up, they were a top team. I mean, again, late 60s, early 70s, they were winning championships. Again, with Ripken in the 80s, winning championships, making it to the World Series. Even later than that, when they had guys like Todd Zeal, they were still a pretty competitive franchise, and they were in the playoffs. And now they have just become a gutter team.
Is it the ownership? I mean, Pierre Angelos, he's loaded upon loaded, right? I mean,
yeah.
There's no reason, you know, they have a beautiful ballpark. I've personally never been, but everyone, like, raves about, you know, the location. And
I've been there. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. But, it's, you know, you could put them, the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, a lot of other teams just sat. I mean, and it's not even that, you know, one team has more money than the other. No, it's which teams actually want to actively be competitive versus just cashing in.
Well, here's the sad stat of the day. Yesterday, mm-hmm. The Royals beat the Orioles 4-3 in front of a crowd of 9,299 in Baltimore.
That's sad because with that ballpark, that's a historically, it's sold out over the last 10 years.
And the Orioles are the worst team in the league. So, in baseball. So, boy, I don't know. I don't know what you do with that team, but those poor fans, and I know some of them, have been just waiting and waiting and waiting. We'll switch over to the West. It's kind of interesting. You know, Justin Dusher is now possibly out for the season, which really upsets me because he was on my fantasy team and I really liked him. But getting past that right now, the A's are in second. Nico, they still find a way to hang in there.
You know, I don't know how they're doing it. I think they've got Gio Gonzalez. I like him as a lefty. But then after him, I'm not sure. Cahill came back from an injury. He may be a good solid addition. But, yeah, losing Dorsher really is going to hurt them. And as the season goes on, I don't expect them to stay as high as they're, you know, play as well as they've been playing.
Worst off-season acquisition, Ben Sheets. You know what, Ben? Everybody who had to go see Ben Sheets pitch and everybody who wanted to sign Ben Sheets and give him a boatload of money, and I think he got, I don't know, like $8 million, $9 million. Well, Ben Sheets is 2-3 with a 5.70 ERA, and the league is hitting .292 against him.
Yeah, what a year a difference makes being off of the game. He sat out that year, and it's just killed him. He's just not back. His arm is just not the same snap, not the same velocity. He's not the same pitcher.
So they need to get something out of Ben Sheets if they're going to actually make a move in that division. And maybe, you know, maybe we'll see a change in him in the second half of the season. But, again, we look over, and the Texas Rangers, the team who was broke last year, team who couldn't make payroll, they're in first place.
They are. They've done it. They've with some great acquisitions, some free agents, and some things that you when you look at the difference between Baltimore Orioles and Texas, Baltimore's kind of been textbook. Let's bring from the farm, and we're going to bring our young guys up. We're going to draft them, and we're going to develop our own players, and we're going to stick by them, and we're not going to go get any free agents. And Texas, the other hand, is doing like a little combination. They're bringing in their own players, but at the same time, they're not hesitant to go out and get a Vladimir Guerrero, and I think that's been one of their biggest pickups, because when their hitters and Kinsler went down and Hamilton's in a slump, there's Guerrero right there just pounding the ball every single day, giving the other players, the younger players, that courage and that hope that they could actually get their hitting together and then they could stay afloat. And look at them today. They're just playing awesome baseball.
Yeah, Josh Hamilton leading them with 7 homers. Vlad Guerrero, a cool 340. We almost forget Vlad Guerrero is still in the league because now he's on Texas. C.J. Wilson is their ERA leader with a 1.48. So right now they're getting it from all areas. But I have to say, the most interesting story there is Jared Saltalamacchia has Mackie Sasser disease. And what that is he can't throw the ball back to the pitcher. But apparently he's on the mend, and he may be able to come back to the majors soon. But have you ever seen that, Lisa, where the catcher just cannot get the ball back to the pitcher? It's just like this mental block?
I mean, maybe I physically couldn't when I was a catcher in like fifth grade. I like always had problems throwing it back. Just because
you were
can't
a catcher.
Throw,
look at that.
I was a catcher, and then you know, what do they put all like the bad athletes in right field? I think catcher in right field. But I had a mean swing. I got a lot of home runs in Little League, but you know, defensively I wasn't that good. Couldn't really track the ball on pop-ups, and, yeah, I couldn't throw to save my life. But, but in the major leagues, no. Maybe not to the catcher, from the catcher to the pitcher, but Chuck Knoblauch sure had a problem throwing from second base to first base, if you remember that in the late 90s.
Yeah, and so did Steve Sachs. And, you know, Nico, these guys get these mental blocks, and you just don't understand it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of Steve Sachs that played with the Dodgers. He was second baseman for the Dodgers. For some reason, any ground ball that he had, he could not throw to first base. I mean, every throw at first base, we had everybody on their pins and needles because he didn't know if he was going to throw it in the stands or throw it in the dirt or where the throw was going to be. But it was just never a perfect throw to first base, and he was just so close.
I know. All right, so we're going to pick some games here. Here is the lock of the day. Nico will tell everybody how they can play the game on his site. But I'm telling you, and my locks were good last week, right, Nico? Cliff Lee?
Oh,
Reed,
absolutely.
My locks were good. This lock is the lock of all locks. This is Roy Halladay pitching at home against the Pittsburgh Pirates. You could pretty much go to the house. You could go to sleep, wake up the next day, and be sure that that is a win.
Yeah, if you got that big pile of cash underneath your pillow or your bed or your mattress or anything
Point.
Like that, and you just happen to be in Vegas for the weekend, I mean, I'm not advocating gambling to anybody like that, but that's about as sure as win as anything in the game of baseball, that's for sure.
And this will make Lisa happy. I will give you another lock. I will take CC Sabathia over Josh Beckett, who's had tremendous problems this year. I think this one is a Yankee win.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, no questions asked. Boston looks dead in the water right now. And Beckett last week against us, you know, but with the whole meltdown he basically had, I don't think he gets himself back up at Yankee Stadium of all places. So I love that.
Nico, I hear Pat Burrell's looking for a job. He got cut.
Well, they finally cut their losses, huh?
They finally cut their losses because, you know, let's face it, he was underperforming. And I said it a long time ago. When he left Philly, he was sort of there to retire. And maybe that wasn't a fair statement, but if you go look at his numbers, I think it was a fair statement. And this year he was hitting .202 with 2 homers and 13 RBIs.
What a way to go out with a $30 million contract. I mean, go off into the sunset.
It's a nice little chunk of change. Any other games you want to talk about, Nico? Tell people how to play the game. Tell them how to get to your website.
Yeah, visit us at www.mlpo.org. Play the game with us. What I really want to talk about this weekend, too, is our promotion that we started a campaign to eliminate steroids from the game of baseball. And how we're doing this is we're through education and healthy nutrition supplements. Our products at nutrition products at mlpo.org have been unbelievable, working in partnership with AdvoCare. We just delivered 8 cases of Slam, Strawberry Slam, and 8 cases of Lemonade Slam to Michigan State University in our efforts to communicate to young players against the usage of steroids. And we're advocating healthy nutrition supplements from AdvoCare as a replacement to steroids. And we'll see. They got a big Ten tournament coming up this weekend, and they've got the good vitamin B's and amino acids ready to go for them. And we're going to be taking a close look. So, yeah, visit us today, www.mlpo.org. Check out those nutrition products. You may find something you like.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you one more lock, and Lisa's not going to like it. Mets over the Yankees Friday night. Hisanon Takahashi making his first ever major league start. I don't even know if I'd keep a straight face with this one. I can't believe they have him listed as a starter. Come on, this guy was signed to be in the bullpen, and he's going to pitch against the Yankees in the Subway Series. Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's touch upon that. So, 3-game Subway Series. You know what's weird? That Saturday game is a night game on Fox. I've never seen a night baseball game, regular season game, on Fox before.
That's true. They've never had that. Maybe it's because of the hockey playoffs or the basketball playoffs. I don't see any pitcher listed for that one yet. I don't think it matters. I mean,
no,
this is going to be similar. I went to the first ever Subway Series, and the first game I went to was the most rabid baseball game I ever went to in my life. I was afraid to wear my Met hat, and we had seats down low until about the third, fourth inning. People were just almost fighting in the stands. This is the first time the teams had really seen each other since the Mayor's Trophy games from the 70s, and Dave Malicki got the win. Dave Malicki. So anything's possible, Lisa. And I don't know if you remember that game, but Dave Malicki walked away with the first Subway Series win against the Yankees.
Well, I mean, obviously that doesn't really matter, but
it does matter.
Maybe for you guys. Maybe for you guys. I mean, but I will admit, with the World Series, I was definitely sweating that series out more than any other because, as a Yankee fan, if we lost to the Mets, that would have been absolutely horrifying. Not only that, your fans are, besides Boston, are maybe the most obnoxious I know that will pounce on any little bad thing the Yankees do where there's no room to talk, and I knew I would hear it forever. I have Met fans that are so ignorant that they make fun of the fact that at least we won a game and we should have won at least 2 games. Like, no, you don't have that argument.
No.
It's just going to be bad this weekend, though, Russ. I mean, and
it
I'm
is.
Not making fun
awful.
Of you. I feel you're angry for you. There's no excuse. And maybe they didn't want to do the firing just because it's coming up against the Subway Series. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's going to go back to those days when you didn't think the Mets had a chance. And to be honest, I knew the Yankees were going to win the Subway World Series, but I went to games anyhow because I was just hoping for the best like everybody else. Lisa, tell everybody how they can get to your website, see some of your great video.
Yeah, my show In the Zone features great athletes, great A-list athletes from all sports and entertainers as well. Maybe we can get Cameron on to talk about her relationship with A-Rod. You never know. That's on itzonline.tv. And then for my sports commentary, you can visit my blog at theyankeeprincess.net.
Everybody can go to sportsology.net, go to lulu.com, and now you can go to amazon.com and buy our book called Strike 3. And, Nico, Strike 3 is on Amazon today. It'll be in the iPad before you know it.
Yeah, and one last plug, Russ. I'm not going to hold my breath on this, but I want to get my phone number out to all the New York Mets executives, Will Pond, whoever is making the decisions over there, 248-508-2282. Call me if you want to win some ball games. I'll take any job, general manager, manager. If you want me on the field, you want me in the booth, I'll definitely change that franchise around. I've got something inside me to get back into the game.
Nico, if you were good at real estate, they'd call you tomorrow. But since you're good at baseball, they're not interested in you. Sorry, buddy. It's just the way
maybe
it is.
Maybe if you were like a chemical engineer, they would call you.
Right. If you could get the Islanders to build their arena right next to the Mets and make some money, they're interested. But that's it for this week's edition of The Game. We'll see you next time. All right. We're good, guys. Thanks.
All right. Awesome. Talk to you guys next week.
Great show.
All right.
Bye-bye.